All right, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Can you hear me?
Yeah, very clear.
All right, and I apologize. My home Wi-Fi, frankly, we've learned lately, has not been the best, and occasionally just, you know, disappears. But I've told everyone in the house to stay off, so hopefully it will be all right for a few minutes. And thank you very much for the invitation. I'm sure you're missing Michelle, as we all are. But I also look forward to getting to know you as an organization. I already had a great meeting with Deborah before COVID-19 hit. So I very much welcome the opportunity to meet and also share some thoughts and finally answer any questions you may have at this point. Colin Gouche is online with me, who is a senior advisor with me. And I think you may have met, many of you will have met her before as well with Michelle. So I thought I would just jump right in, just 2-3 minutes kind of overview and be guided by your interests. I saw your questions, by the way, which were excellent. And from my perspective, in terms of CIHR, it's been a very swift introduction to all aspects of our work and our organization, which in a way is very timely, and yet on the other hand has been somewhat stressful. In terms of getting us through this really unknown territory in many respects. I was fortunate to be in the health portfolio on the regulatory side for a few years, also in policy and program delivery. Was there during H1N1 and at different points, but nothing quite like this, to be frank. So within the context and scope of the current COVID-19 pandemic, we all were sent home, as you know, around mid-March to work from home with very little notice, just a day or two, and were swiftly identified as one of the key federal organizations to support the federal response to the pandemic, federal and international, quite frankly, because in a way we were involved internationally through one of our institutes well before that. So then Treasury Board identified us as a critical service. I mention that only because it means that we've had to really streamline our focus and our priorities up until very recently. And you will be aware of this in the community as you watch us kind of work through the evolution of our focus over this past few weeks, week 12, I believe we're in, work from home. So initially, all focus was on COVID. My role has been to work closely with the minister's office and the portfolio, and also, of course, the central agencies in developing these funding requests across various needs that were articulated by the research community during this period. Initially, very much focused on COVID. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but I have to admit, if you take just a 10 seconds to quickly review what we've done, all of us and beyond as a community, to provide focused support for the COVID response. It's quite remarkable the amount of time that we had, despite, you know, bumps in the road and challenges along the way. In March, the 52.8 million funded 99 research teams just to focus on the rapid response and contribute to the global efforts. We're still very much involved in the knowledge mobilization as we start to pull together the researchers and the findings from that. And that will contribute to WHO work this summer. I'm sure some of you are involved in that. Then at the end of April, 114.9 million, as you know, medical and social countermeasures. And that included a piece on mental health and social countermeasures from our research perspective. More recently, the 291.6 million for income support for trainees, and you were, articulating the needs, the gap, the very urgent pressures to help provide context for government to make that decision. And our lane or our piece was to help develop resource requests and so on, working with ISED ultimately, who is holding the responsibility for that as the lead. And then finally, the $450 million, which is the tri-agency initiative, for universities and health research institutes to maintain research assets through this period, and so that we don't lose, we collectively, the ecosystem, what we have in place, and at least we can maintain some sort of a baseline, if at all possible. So big focus on COVID. However, the flip side of that is that much of the research community isn't involved in COVID-related research. And we were definitely in our communications and interactions with the community realizing that the inevitable decision that we had to make in the spring to postpone the competition, we simply were not in a position to deliver it with our 500 employees suddenly sent home, given just the practicalities, created, you know, a gap, a worry, anxiety in the community, and rightfully so. So more recently, as you know, it's been made public, we've been able to do a deep dive analysis, recalibrate. We've gained a lot of confidence in delivering the COVID competitions virtually. We've tested new ways of managing through the peer review, et cetera. And we feel confident that we can apply that effectively in the summer to run the spring competition in the summer, and then to provide a little space and move forward with the fall competition, perhaps with a couple of weeks variation on the usual timing, but very close to the regular timing. And that would be also through peer review. So I just wanted to lay that out as a panorama in terms of where we are, where we see ourselves, and what we have ahead. So focus now is on competitions coming up, summer, fall, and then beyond. And that's our really flagship competition and the research community we've heard. And I would invite you also to think about this as offering to contribute reviewers, which will be very, very important. Part of it is staff at our end, but of course, a big part of it is having the peer review capacity really to deliver this June, July, August, and it will be staggered. The virtual approach that we're taking is face-to-face on Zoom, MS Teams actually, for security reasons likely, even though I know, you know, there's a kind of debate around that. Different from what was done, I guess, in the, well before my time, but probably many of you recall some different approaches that were tested out back in around 2015. This is more of a, call it a virtual replication in many respects of the usual approach, only spread out, staggered a little bit, so that we can actually manage, you know, frankly, the intense practical IT considerations, etc. So our program group is doing a deep dive now. We've got our science directors in the institutes really involved in playing a very strong challenge function, helping us, consulting with the community across the country to see how we can make this happen and deliver. That is priority number one. So there's some work that's not being done. Given focus on COVID, we can't kind of continue. We're still in business continuity plan status, and that means focus on priorities, focus on the pandemic, and then basic core work, including something like today, which is very important to us. And we continue right up throughout the organization to connect with key organizations to hear from you. That's part of what we do. We don't operate in you know, isolation. Sometimes it may seem we do, but really we don't. We try not to, absolutely not. So we're learning. From what I understand, certainly for me, this is quite new at the agency, but we feel we've been fairly nimble, and we've also been surprised that we've been, in some respects, willing and able to be more creative than perhaps has been the culture, which is, you know, a little more small C conservative generally. And I think it's given us confidence to be more so, more responsive to the community, and also to share when things go well, and when they don't go so well, make a course correction, which is equally important. So I don't really want to dominate. I know there isn't much time for conversation. You have a big agenda, but are there any particular points or questions where I can elaborate? Or if I don't have the answer, Colleen will help me, or we'll get it for you.
I can just start. I think there's two things. I think it clearly demonstrates the response of research for COVID from CHR, the absolute need for supportive investigator-driven research, because you wouldn't have predicted immediately how much knowledge has been brought forward from areas that were, in one sense, unrelated, but are now directly related to COVID. And I think it's a really good demonstration of the strong support for the whole spectrum of research. I think what we're also seeing is there's a stronger need for research that's really more at the innovation stage, and you can look at our innovation program, of having, you know, more, really more industry support on something to take it forward into practice, I would call it, or into commercialization. Yeah. To move some of these projects forward requires that. And, you know, and we certainly, as Research Canada, represent, you know, much of the continuum of research. We got a few minutes.
Rob?
Yeah, I can't see everybody at once. So,
okay, Rob Denis. Denis Roy. Thank you very much, Catherine.
What you could do, if you know how to put your hands up in Zoom, click on participants and put your hand signal up if you want to, because then I can see everybody on your names.
I will only ask one question, so I won't come back. Thank you very much, Catherine.
No, Robert's rules, you only get one crack.
One of the effects of the COVID, as Ryan has noticed, has put me back in the smoking section of the world. But a lot of focus has been put on vaccine development.
Yes.
By all the grants. Thinking about the future, will CIHR be interested in the social and the mental health resulting from the confinement, and eventually perhaps another confinement if there's a second wave?
That's a very good question. Et aussi, j'aurais dû dire si vous voulez parler français, absolument.
Non, c'est très bien comme ça.
Oui. What was interesting is that many of you may have been involved in consultations related to Dr. Strong, our president's initiative on the new strategic plan for the agency. And it's a long-term plan, and it's taken quite some time to develop the key concepts. And then we were hit with the pandemic, and we're actually realizing we have to step back with our governing council and have a look at that and see if the priorities remain that we had articulated there. It was close to launching. It was meant to be launched actually about now. So our future and where we'll focus our attention may shift a bit in terms of not only pandemic, but health emergency preparedness, which in Canada has not always been priority and is a bit of a longer term commitment for government rather than a shorter term deliverable at times. It's only when it actually hits that you should see the impact of not being ready or being somewhat ready, but could be better prepared perhaps from a research point of view. On that, you mentioned mental health, and also I think you mentioned also some of the social elements of the pandemic, and I'm glad you did in a way, because some of our funding, and I'd be happy to share this back to you with Deborah, some of our funding and some of our projects went specifically to Steve Hoffman and Sam Wace on those areas, mental health in particular. We've been fairly fortunate. He is very innovative in terms of the work being funded on the mental health front. And we have a number of projects on social determinants related also to stigmatization of certain populations, impacts. And we never, at least many of us, would not have thought this would go on as long as it is, and it will be for some time. So I think I totally agree with you. The importance of that work can't be really overstated. And our colleagues in the other agencies as well, SHRC and NSERC, have done some of that work And if you'd like, we can have a look when we are off the call and pull together some of the results of those projects, because I think we've already done some roll-ups that might be of interest to you. Not sure if that answers your question completely, though.
Thank you. We're now 2 minutes past date, but I think everyone's may or staying on. If it's all right, we have time for a couple more questions.
Sure, maybe one or two more questions.
Anything from anybody? I don't see anybody's hands up.
Hmm.
Well, I think looking at the time, we probably all have another Zoom to go to. Can't thank you enough, Catherine, and hope to meet you. The idea was to meet you in person at this meeting.
Yes.
at least we can do it virtually. And one day we'll all be in Ottawa again to be able to meet. So thank you very much. And thank you, Michelle.